Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So first of all, I'd like to thank Mother Mukhya for inviting me to come, making the arrangements. As she mentioned, I'm on a kind of a very quick in and out tour. We've been in Orlando for the last couple of days with Jayapataka Swami, looking at some stuff for the exhibits for Mayapur, and I'm leaving for Salt Lake City on Saturday. So I got one evening for this presentation, and then I think there's a class tomorrow morning. So thank you all for coming. For the next hour, we'll be showing this slideshow on the Bhaktivedanta Research Center, which is, as it says there, a complete Vaishnav literary resource. At least that's what we're aiming to do. Jai Shishi Radha Shama Sundar Ki Jai. And also a Vedic cosmology library, you can see there. So this is a project that we began 4.5 years ago. This is the building. It's in South Calcutta. It's actually 5 stories. It was donated to ISKCON in 2000. And that's it from the side there. The library is on this level here. This is a guest house area here. And the donor lives in these flats up here. This year somebody came and bought this land, and they built a Jain temple next to us, so you can't see that view anymore. The project was founded by myself and Pranava Prabhu, who you see there on the right. He did his PhD thesis on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It's available through Oxford University Press. It's called Modern Hindu Personalism. It's a fantastic book. It gives some of the history of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's preaching endeavors to set up the Gaudiya Vaishnav movement again. So he's fluent in 7 languages. He's a professor at Stockholm University. He just got tenure there. And he and I kind of came up with the scheme to start this center. So we opened June 30th, 2009. Jayapataka Swami and Bhakti Charu Maharaj were both there. They're our original mentors. The gentleman you see in white there is Mr. Shyam Sukh, who donated the building to us. This is what we began with. It was a big open hall, about 1,000 square feet. It was quite dilapidated. It hadn't been used for some years. After 6 months of hard work, we had a nice library. So this is fully computerized and, of course, air-conditioned, etc. And we've got room there for about 12 or 14,000 books, depending on the size. So we started operations. This year, we've just been adding some facility for students and scholars to come, some study areas there. There's a rare book section, which you'll be seeing more of in a minute, and some display cabinets, so we can show some of the original writings that we've got from our acharyas. We began with 4,000 titles. Currently, we got 15,000. And also, we have a digital manuscript library, about 850 at the moment. So the core collection was the personal collection of Sundarananda Vijayavinod. That's him there on the right. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is seated. This is him as a young man. He was a Sanskrit scholar from Dhaka who joined up with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in the 1920s. He was one of the main literary figures in the Gaudiya Math, and he was the custodian of the library of the Bagbazar Gaudiya Math, which was, of course, established by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati himself. After the fighting began in 1937, Sundarananda removed the entire library to his home, and it stayed there for 70 years until we got it in 2009. So this, you could say it's practically the personal library of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So we'll have a look and see what some of the contents are. But first I'll mention about Bodhayan Swami. He is the Acharya of the Gopinath Gaudiya Math. Just briefly, what had happened was Pranava had negotiated to get this collection from the family of Sundarananda over a period of about 5 or 6 years. We established this project on the basis that we were going to get this collection, and then at the last second, when Pranava was due to pay the money, 7 lakhs, to get the library, they said, "Don't come, we just gave it all away." And they gave it to the Gopinath Gaudiya Math. So Pranava and I both know Bodhayan Maharaj somewhat. So we went to see him. We were thinking, well, if we didn't get the whole collection, at least he might let us scan some of the important documents. We were amazed at his response, because he told us, he said, "When you rang me and told me about your library, I took it that this was Lord Chaitanya ringing." He said, "We have all these books. They're still in the boxes. We haven't done anything with them, and we have nowhere to put them. So you take the entire collection, put it in your library, and then when I need something, you can scan it or print up a couple of copies." So he gave us the entire library. He had not even seen what was in it himself. I know that nowadays, he tends to regret having made that decision because of what's in it. But anyway, he's a wonderful Vaishnav. We have a very good relationship with him, and it was a fantastic gesture on his part. So just a few of the rare things that we found in the collection. This is an original print from 1896 of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts. We have 2 copies of this from the actual, this is the first print run. This photograph dropped out of one of the books. It's the only photograph that we know of anyway. It's an actual photograph of Jagannath Das Babaji. You can see his hand in his bead bag there. He's bent over. We think he was about 120 years old when this was taken, and it would have been around the time that he confirmed the founding of the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So that's an original photograph. One of the most important sections of the collection was a compilation of all the periodicals that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and his disciples were producing. Nadia Prakash was a daily, Gaudiya was a weekly, Sajjan Toshani was a monthly, The Harmonist was an English monthly, and The Bhagwat was a Hindi publication. So these were coming out for many years, and they collected every single edition in all of the, and bound them up into these volumes here. So we'll look more closely at that in a minute, but the entire history of the preaching of the Gaudiya Math, Bhaktisiddhanta's preaching, is contained in these periodicals. Here's The Harmonist. It goes actually from right to left, but it starts in 1927 and goes through to 1937. This is all in English. This is the Nadia Prakash. It was a newspaper size, 4 pages, published every day for some years, and it was a very clever device, because 2 pages were ordinary mundane news. So they would get that, you know, from the AP or whatever it was, and then they would add 2 pages of spiritual content. So people would buy it thinking they were getting the newspaper, and they would automatically then read about Krishna. So very interesting. This is the Bhagwat. This is one from 1931. Then, apart from the periodicals, this was a very far-out find. There was a book called Bibliotheca Indica, and it had very clearly bound into one book. There were 3 sections. So the 3rd section was actually blank pages, but with newspaper clippings. And here you see it says, "Thoughts on popular topics or occasional notes by Babu Kedarnath Dutt, Deputy Collector and Magistrate, Bhaktivinoda Thakur." So what it is a series of articles and poems that he wrote and then gave them to the newspapers in Puri to print. And then somebody clipped all the articles out and stuck them in this book. So this is the famous poem about Haridas Thakur. Yeah, you see stanza number 9. He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavs die when thou art living still in sound. The Vaishnavs die to live, and living try to spread a holy life around. We always print that as the holy name, but this is the first known publication of that poem, and he uses the word holy life. The footnote there explains that Haridas Thakur was the son of a Qazi who grew up some miles away from Delhi. When he took up Vaishnav ways, all the Qazis got together and condemned him and had him beaten in all the marketplaces of Delhi. This is according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then later on he left there, and as it says there, he came to Nadia. He met Chaitanya Prabhu, and then he ended up at the seashore in Puri, where this poem was written. So, very interesting piece. And all these articles were signed a Sharagrahi Vaishnav, and this one is dated Puri, 29th of August, 1871. So these are various articles. There's an article about the Jagannath Puri temple. There's an article about what's called the Akras, or they're kind of like social clubs in Puri, etc., etc. This is, it says there, original poetry, reflections. Alas for those that spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling deadly liquid forms their hearts forever employ. This is the famous drinker's song, and how they can be saved by Krishna consciousness. But you can see there the condition of the pages. We got to this collection just in time. These are all the bugs eating everything away. Apart from that, in the same book, this is a stanza that was written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's his actual handwriting. And it's an introduction into an 8-page horoscope that he personally drew up by hand of his son Lalit Prasad Thakur. Bhaktivinoda learnt astrology when he was 12 years old, so he was quite competent at that. And this, actually, there's 8 pages of Lalit Prasad's horoscope there. This is a letter that he sent to his home around about 1871. You can see at the bottom there, that's his signature in Bengali script. Then this is a fragment from a manuscript that he'd been working on. Sundarananda had put this in this envelope and marked it as Bhaktivinoda Thakur's handwriting. And so from that, then we were able to look at the other stuff and verify that that was also his handwriting. This is a very far out find. This is probably the first Gaudiya Vaishnav songbook. There's about 50 pages. I think it's the entire Sharanagati poems that this is handwritten by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You can see there the pages. Again, all of these, you know, the paper is in very brittle condition for most of these works. They're mostly over 100 years old. And they need very careful preservation, so that's what we've been working on there. You can see here, this is Bhaktivinoda's commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. You can see the state of the book. This is an original print, but just, you know, aging, acid, humidity, heat, all these things attacking it. This is the Padma Purana, which is in Sanskrit. Bhaktivinoda Thakur collected 7 or 8 different commentaries and put them with the verses and published that. This has been out of print for about 80 years or so. And then this is a find that we came up with this January. We had a bunch of papers that were kind of left over that we still had not really closely examined. Pradyumna Prabhu, Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, came and spent 3 weeks with us. So we asked him, if you have some time, can you look through the rest of the stuff? So he pulled out after a couple of days this small folder, and there's about 50 pages handwritten by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Some of them are draft articles for the Gaudiya that he had sent to Sundarananda. He was the editor. And some of them are letters from different godbrothers to Sundarananda. So we were very excited about this, because we, up to this point, had not had any original handwriting from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. This is on the Gaudiya Printing Works letterhead, and here you see his signature We'll take a close look at that. It's very interesting. It says, Nit Yashirvadaka Siddhanta Saraswati. And that translates literally as your ever well wisher. And that's, of course, where Prabhupada got that from. He signed his letters in exactly the same way that his spiritual master did. So that's his signature. And this is a list of office holders of what was going to be the Thakur Bhaktivinoda Research Institute. That building is still there next to the Yog Pit in Mayapur, but it was taken over by the government and made into an ordinary school. But originally it was conceived as a research institute, and all the office holders there were Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples, and he had them write down all their academic qualifications alongside of the post that they were occupying. So initially when we started our project, we called it the Bhaktivedanta Research Center, and I wasn't very keen on using the word research, because Prabhupada didn't like that, because he said it indicated that if you're researching, it means you haven't got the answers, you're still looking. But I was relieved when we found this, Bhaktivinoda Research Institute. This is the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Saraswati Jayashri. It was first printed in 1934. This is an original print. It's in Bengali. It was never printed again until about 2008. It's never been translated into English either. So that was the first of what was going to be a series of three or five books, all in glorification of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. The first one came out. Nothing else was published, but we were really excited to find two copies of a draft print of what was going to be the second volume of Saraswati Jayashri. This has never been seen by anybody. You can see there it's got on the front page the natal chart of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And what it is a series of interviews with him where he recounts growing up as the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur up to about the age of 18. So it's virtually an autobiography. We are now translating this at this moment, and that should come out later next year with the first volume. We're going to put it out as a two-volume or a single-volume set. This is a very important document. It says there, the last wishes of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, 31st of December 1936, at 10:30 a.m. This is about 14 or 16 hours before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left the planet. It was recorded down by Pranabananda, who became Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. It was witnessed by several other disciples. It's written in English, a single sheet, and there's about 12 different points there. The second point is very interesting. It says, advice to form a governing body of 10 to 12 persons for management of the mission's work, but Kunjababu will manage as long as he lives. This is the instruction that was given by Bhaktisiddhanta to start or to form a GBC, which Prabhupada said the failure to follow this instruction led to the destruction of the Gaudiya Math as a united preaching force. So this is the actual instruction there. Before he started his preaching work, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was well known for his work in astronomy, especially this Surya Siddhanta. This is a periodical that he was publishing for several years called the Jyotirvid. These are from 1904. This is important for us because it will give us insights into how he was seeing the universe. It's an astronomical periodical, and when we do the Vedic cosmology presentation in Mayapur, we'll be able to reference this and see how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was dealing with various issues about astronomy. This is a Gaudiya Panjika from 1928, the first real Gaudiya Vaishnava almanac. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had this published every year with all the important festivals. This is what we get our Vaishnava calendar from. This is the first book that he wrote that was not astronomical or astrological. It's called Bhange Samagikata, from 1899. This is an original print. You can see the back cover there. Got chewed up by insects, but actually the contents are all right, so this is an original print. It's about the social life of the people of Bengal. That's the topic. Then this was very interesting. This is a Government of India survey map of Nadia from 1917-1918, which was the year that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took sannyas. And here you see the map. On the left is the Ganga. On the right is the Jalangi. Here's Navadvip. This is Swarup Ganj, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house is. And this area is Miapur Bil, using the old spelling which Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Miapur, now Mayapur. ISKCON is here, right in the middle, right in the line of sight, from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house to the yog pit. So at that time, of course, nothing was established except a small place at the yog pit, but that temple that we see at the yog pit was not actually built and opened till about 1935. So at this time there was nothing in Mayapur whatsoever. Now if you get a satellite photograph, you'll see there's a whole township there. It's growing up very rapidly. Now those are a few things from Sundarananda's collection. We have about 350 items we've identified as being very rare. That are locked up in our cupboards for the moment. We've just had a glimpse of them. Now the rest of the titles we have come from Achyuta Prabhu's personal collection of 11,000 books. He's been living in Calcutta. He's Italian. He's been living in Calcutta for 25 years. His hobby is collecting old books. So he goes around all the second-hand bookstores whenever he has time or money. And he just buys things. So he doesn't know what he's got. We spent a year cataloguing the first 4,000 titles. They're on the shelves right now. These are an indication. There's a whole section on Vedic science and mathematics, a section on Jagannath Puri, section on Kirtan, section on, there's 420 commentaries on Vedanta Sutra, 200 plus versions of Bhagavad Gita, etc., etc. Anything that he saw that was connected with Indian religions of any kind, Indian culture, he was collecting it. So out of that lot, eventually we'll buy the majority of his stuff. In the meantime, we're able to add it to our catalogue. Here's a few things from that. 1933 was when Bon Maharaj and a couple of others went to England to begin the, you know, first foreign preaching. They were not allowed to leave until they had this book in their hands, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. This was written by Professor Sanyal. It's got a foreword by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And this was the book that they were going to present to people in the West to explain about Lord Chaitanya and his philosophy. So this is an original print from 1933. This one here is from 1916. This is an official memorial to Bhaktivinoda Thakur by a committee that had been set up for the purpose. This here is published by the University of Calcutta in 1917. It's a listing of all the Vaishnav literature of medieval Bengal. So this is a very valuable book. Again, 1917 means it's nearly 100 years old. This here is a drama in English, Chaitanya Chandradaya, by Kavikarna Purna. This was printed in 1885. This is really interesting. Dialogues of Krishna and Arjuna from 1845. We think that Charles Wilkins was the first Western scholar to translate the Gita into English and actually print it and publish it. The first one came out in 1785. Ours is the third edition from 1845. Again, this was just lying around in some old second-hand bookstore, and a tutor just came across it and collected it. This is the sixth volume of the collected works of Sir William Jones. If you don't know who he is, he was the founder of the Asiatic Society. He was fluent in 13 or 14 languages. He knew 26 other languages. He was one of the first vanguard of scholars to come from the West and start translating Vedic literature. He's the one who said that Sanskrit is the mother of all other languages and that it is the most precise language in the world. So he died in 1795. This volume was published in 1799. So this is a couple of hundred years old, more than that. And it's an overview of the Vedas, it says there. Now, coming closer to home, I had been told that there were a couple of original Back to Godheads in Prabhupada's rooms in Mayapur. So this Gaupurnima, I got Jnanivas Prabhu to open up the Almira, and we found some interesting stuff. There's about 20 postcards from 1949 and 1950 addressed to Srila Prabhupada. Some from God Brothers, some from people ordering his Back to Godhead. And they're addressed to Abhay Charanaravindo Bhaktivedanta. So he was using that title even in the late 40s and early 50s. The address is 6 Sita Kanta Banerjee Lane. So that was a nice find. This is what I consider to be a wonderful letter. This is, you know, the ultimate rejection letter. Yeah, if you read that, this Prabhupada had written for an interview with the governor of Bihar. This is his reply from January of 1950. His Excellency, the governor will be glad to see you, but he will have no talk with you about the publication of your books, and he cannot give you any help in that respect. Also, it will not be possible for His Excellency to approach any publishers, nor can he give any financial assistance. In these circumstances, it is not worthwhile for you to incur the expenditure of coming over to Patna. But if you're still desirous of seeing His Excellency, please let me know so that a date and time can be fixed for your interview. You are also advised not to send the manuscripts to His Excellency. I mean, this is, you know, the rejection letter of all time. What does Prabhupada do? He writes back, he says, I have no intention of bringing up the topic of my publications with His Excellency. I'm coming on a cultural and peace mission only. Please fix up a date. So then they fix the date for the 17th of January. And then immediately Prabhupada then puts out that little note on the right to the local press saying that Abhay Charanaravinda, the editor of Back to Godhead, Calcutta, has come to Patna on a cultural and peace mission. He'll meet with the governor at such and such a date, at such and such a time. So Prabhupada never missed a trick. I mean, you know, it practically, don't bother coming, but if you want to come anyway. All right, and then immediately he takes advantage. He's got this little sliver of recognition there, and he's maximizing it completely, you know. This is the Back to Godheads that I was looking for. That's Truth and Beauty. That one's from 1958. And the Hindi one on the right, that's the Bhagwat Darshan. That's from 1957. We also found a couple of volumes of Prabhupada's original first canto Bhagavatams, I think volume 2 and 3, in the Almira there. These are all in the library now. So apart from those things, because we're not limited in what we're collecting, Sataputta Prabhu had a personal archive, very extensive. That's him on the left there, sitting in front of Prabhupada. So we were able to get his entire library. It was sent to us a couple of years ago, and there's 17 boxes there. So all of that will be put into our cosmology library. It may well end up in Mayapur for reference materials when we get the planetarium going there. Then Nisringananda Prabhu from ITV saw me make this presentation in a life member's house in Udupi last December, and he got fired up, so he sent us his entire collection of Back to Godheads, which go back, you know, many years. So there's a few things that are in the library. Now, with these publications, of course, we want to make them available as much as possible. So we're planning to have an academic imprint and then another one for the general public. We think about 50% of Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's works have not been translated into English yet. So that's a task that we want to take up. We have, in fact, begun. This is probably the most far out of all the things that we found. This is a copy of the personal diary of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It runs from 1904 to 1936. Sundarananda had kept it in his collection, never showed it to anybody. So even Bodhayan Maharaj had no idea this existed. So Pranav has translated this, and it's been fully annotated. It needs one more edit, and then we're trying to get a university press to publish it. That will be very prestigious, you know, to get an academic imprint from that. It will add to the collection of works that are available to scholars who are studying Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The idea is that most scholars from the West that study Gaudiya Vaishnavism, they usually go, you know, to the six Goswamis. And it's their field of research is pretty well limited to that. So Pranava and Krishna Abhishek from Chicago, several others are working on a scheme to get our acharyas into, you know, the body of works that get studied automatically by anybody that wants to know about Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So Pranava did his thesis on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Krishna Abhishek is doing his thesis on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because they're published by university presses, they'll have to be studied by anybody, you know, in future who want to know anything about the Gaudiya Vaishnava movement. So there's a plan there to get our more recent acharya's works studied, and that includes Srila Prabhupada as well. Okay, so another part of what we're doing, that's all about the books and documents. We also decided that we'd start looking for manuscripts. We're in Bengal. There's lots of temples and libraries and original manuscripts all over the place. So in 2011, we started sending out a small team. We photographed about 800 manuscripts from 35 different temples and libraries. This year, myself and Pranava went to Delhi. We met with this lady, Professor Tripathi. She's the head of the National Mission for Manuscripts in India. For the last 10 years, they've been kind of going around trying to scan as many manuscripts as possible. We're told that they have about 9 million images, but they haven't released any of it yet. We've applied to them to become a manuscript resource center, which means if we get that status, we'll get funding from the government to go out and find manuscripts and catalog them. We don't have to do anything else, we just find them and list them. And they pay money to do that, so we can fund a whole team to keep on traveling around doing this manuscript mission. What we're looking for, basically, on the top left there, that's a tree bark manuscript, a couple of hundred years old. On the right, this is a palm leaf or tau manuscript that was found in the River Ganges with about 20 other manuscripts. They kind of got washed away in the floods. But nowadays, people don't want the manuscripts anymore, and they take them to the Ganga or to the Jamuna and they throw them in the river, or they burn them for firewood. So we're trying to rescue what we can. Then the third one on the left at the bottom is handmade paper and ink, of course. We're not necessarily looking for originals, although we do get a few given to us, but we want to scan as much as we can. This is a manuscript of the Majalila of the Chaitanya Sri Chaitamrita. This was in Sundarananda's collection. We think this is around about 300 or 350 years old. Very delicate condition. Now, this is across the river from Mayapur, the Gauranga Talmandir. The deity there of Lord Chaitanya, next to him there's a box on the altar. That box has a manuscript. This is Sudhin Goswami, he's a good friend of ours. And that manuscript happens to be the 10th canto, or part of it, written by Gadadhar Pandit. Not only that, they claim that some of the tals have got annotations written by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So they allowed us to photograph the whole manuscript. It's about 483 images, or tals. And, sorry? This is palm leaf. Palm leaf. And here you can see there's one style of handwriting in the middle, and then on the top and bottom lines is a different hand. So that's what they claim is Lord Chaitanya's handwriting. Because there's no proof of that. I will say that there's no verifiable examples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's handwriting. But they've been worshipping this manuscript for many generations. So we have that. Now this year, we sent our team to Bangladesh in February. I was kind of convinced that there must be a lot of stuff in Bangladesh, because after the war, the Hindus were persecuted. When you get a minority that's under persecution, they take all the valuables. They either send it out of the country or they hide it. So we figured there's got to be a lot of stuff in Bangladesh hidden away. And of course, many of our acharyas came from that area of Bengal. So we were advised Tri-Silet, which is just on the right there, the northeast. That district is where Jagannath Mishra came from. And when they were there, then our team found this library, Ishwara Patsal, at Kumila in Silet. They have 9,000 manuscripts and 60,000 books. There's a few of the manuscripts. Now, none of this is catalogued. They haven't a clue what's there. They're just, you know, there. And they're afraid to tell the government because they're, you know, once they're on the map, they think if there's any problems politically, as there are going on this year, then they may well get burnt down to the ground. So they were very happy when our team went there. They invited us to come back and catalogue, you know, their whole collection, which for us would be great, because we can see then if there's any special manuscripts from our line. Because a manuscript is not necessarily Vaishnava literature. It can be Nyaya, it can be legal documents, all kinds of, you know, Sahaja stuff is out there. So we got to discriminate a little bit. But at least we want to know what they have. So they're supposed to be sending a letter this week authorizing us to go back there and start the work of cataloging. Now we just need the funding and manpower. This is a similar situation, but in the other direction, in Odisha. This is a library, personal library, private library, 17,000 manuscripts and 40,000 books and a huge number of old journals. Again, the same situation. Some old person is looking after it. There's a committee that doesn't do anything, and the whole thing is just rotting away. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done to help with this preservation. Just before I came here, we went to the Nabadweep Town Library, which formerly was called the Edward VII Anglo-Sanskrit Library from 1907. They're very keen to become a public library, and they're not very keen to do anything with the manuscript collection that they have. They've got a couple of thousand. Some of them have been catalogued, but most have not. So they've invited us to come and help them with that collection. This is what happens if you don't look after them. They just literally, you know, disintegrate. So that's just across the river from us. This is a few members of their committee. So all of this stuff, especially the old things, of course, need preserving. And there's three methods we're using: scanning, lamination, and engraving. Last year, we bought this scanner. We got donations, about $27,000. That enabled us to buy this. This is a German make. The scanner is in the top there. It shines down and then goes across the pages. So you don't have to break the spine, you know. You don't have to put them face down on a flat plate or anything. There's a V-shaped platen, which enables old books to be, you know, handled very carefully and delicately. So we started work with that. After, the first thing that we started work on was the Nadia Prakash, because all those periodicals are in newsprint, and newspaper you know, is very cheap and deteriorates very quickly. So we thought the periodicals would be the most important thing to do first. So the Nadia Prakash was in 31 volumes, 40,000 images. It took us about 10 months to scan all of this. After that was scanned, because this is what happens if you don't do anything. They're so brittle, they literally fall apart. So after scanning, then each sheet was deacidified and then laminated with this deacidified paper. So this is like gossamer thin. You can see straight through it. But once you put it on, it enables you to handle the pages without damaging them. So that, this is all the Nadia Prakash then after lamination. We then had to index everything so we know what articles are in which volumes. This is Bharati Roy. She's our Bengali librarian. She's the one that does all the field work, finding the manuscripts. And that's her husband, David R. So they did the indexing. This is the Nadia Prakash newly bound up in 60 volumes. Then the next one we did was the Gaudiya, which is the weekly. This is, again, the same situation after scanning, then preservation. And then the third method, very interesting. This is zinc metal sheeting. And what you can do is take any image. You take a digital image of it. You clean it up digitally. This is one of the manuscripts from the Gaurangatal Mandir. Then you print it out on paper. Then you make a photographic negative, then you get the zinc sheet, you put some chemical on it, you put the negative on top and put it out in the sunshine. The sun neutralizes the chemical, you know, wherever it can shine through the negative there, it neutralizes the chemical. Where it doesn't shine through, then the chemical burns into the metal. After some time you wash it all off, and you end up with the perfect metallic reproduction of any manuscript that you want to preserve. So even any of the original manuscripts not going to last more than a few hundred years. 700-800 years in India is considered to be old for a manuscript. But if you were to, you know, take a valuable manuscript and do it in metal like this, they can last thousands of years. So that Gaurangatal Mandir 10th canto, we spent 1,50,000 this year to have that reproduced in zinc. We're just about finished with that just now. We've had a lot of visitors, word's getting out. The gentleman on the left there, your left, is Binodananda Das. He was born in 1929. He was given his name by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He is the youngest son at 84. Of Sundarananda Vijayavinod. Shyam Baba is on the right. So Binodananda Das gave the collection to Shyam Baba. He put that in the Gaudiya mat, Gopinath Gaudiya mat, and then it came to us. So this year I went to visit him and invited him to the library. He was in some anxiety when he heard, you know, that the collection that he had given away and not taken 7 lakhs of rupees for had now then been given away to ISKCON. So he thought there was something fishy going on, maybe, you know, Bodhiyan Maharaj had taken a bribe or something. So for 3 years I've been trying to get him to come to the library to see what we're doing. And finally, you know, I went to visit him. Thank you. and I, you know, I invited him to come. So he was going to come in a week. He turned up the next day. I think he was, you know, trying to kind of catch us out or make sure that we were genuine. Anyway, he came, we showed him around. Here he's looking at that big book that Mandala Media put out on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And there's several pictures in there of Bhaktisiddhanta with Binodananda's father, Sundarananda. So he was happy to see that. He left a little note. He said, "I came today. I'm very happy to see that they're looking after my father's collection very nicely." And he told me, he said, "Now I can go home and sleep peacefully." So that was nice. Here's Pradyumna Prabhu. As I said, he spent 3 weeks with us at the beginning of the year. We're trying to persuade him to take a year's sabbatical from his teaching position that he's currently doing, I think, at Rutgers, and come and live with us in the library for a year. He could do such a tremendous amount of service there. So he was in ecstasy when he saw the library. This is Bhamsi Das Babaji. When we finish this slideshow, I have a much shorter one on Bianaga, the birthplace of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's the head Babaji there. If we have time, we can look at that as well. So he also came to the library. There was 14 scholars from Ukraine that visited. This is Rebecca Manring. She's the leading authority on Gaudiya Vaishnavism amongst the scholars in America at the moment. She was said to be inimical to ISKCON, but Pranava last year took an advanced Bengali course, which she was the mentor of, and she actually came to Calcutta, so he invited her to the library. He didn't tell her that it was the Hare Krishna movement, but just by Krishna's arrangement, when they entered into the building, there were a couple of devotees that had been staying in the guest house that were just coming out. So they saw Pranava and they said, "Oh, Hare Krishna." So she laughed because he had not told her that he was a Hare Krishna. He's Professor Sardella. But anyway, she came in, she saw the library, she was in ecstasy, she thought it was wonderful, and it really definitely changed her opinion about ISKCON. Lucien Wang is doing his PhD at Oxford University. He spent 2 months with us. This is Anthony Foley. He's another PhD candidate with Oxford. So the word's getting out that this is a good facility now for research, especially for scholars. Ruby Sain is a professor of sociology from Jadavpur University. She's been working with Pranava Prabhu to set up a sociology of religions course in Jadavpur University. And of course, we want to get official connections gradually with a lot of other universities. So all of this information, of course, we want to make available to as many people as possible. Nowadays, if you're not on the internet, you don't exist. So we've got a website. It's under reconstruction at the moment, but it's still up and running. And the first thing that we did was we catalogued Sundarananda's entire collection. There's about 2,300 entries. It gives the title, the author, the editor, the year, the script, the language, etc., etc. And then as we scan all of these works, then the content will be linked up with the title, and then you can just click on it and pull it up. So same with the manuscripts that we've been doing. This is a Tattvasandarbha, a copy of it, of course, not the original. And if you click on the title, you get the whole content coming up. So just like we've done the Nadia Prakash, that's 40,000 images. So that all has to be added to the website. For those of you that are passing through to Mayapur or coming directly to Calcutta, we have a little guest house, fully air-conditioned, Wi-Fi, clean and comfortable. It gives us a little bit of income to help support the project. And of course, it's in the same building as the library, so you can come and visit and see all these wonderful works. For the future, book acquisition, we're always looking for new stuff, of course, but not just old manuscripts and things, any new stuff that's being published, we're also adding that as we get it from the authors. The manuscript mission, if we get that funding from the government, we can do a lot in Bangladesh and Orissa, etc. Scanning and preservation, there's, you know, several generations of work there. And then website construction and maintenance, putting all the stuff. Eventually there'll be hundreds of thousands of images on the website there. And then, of course, translation and publication. 2 months ago, we just started our translation department. One young Bengali lady has come to join us, and she's the first thing she's working on is that Saraswati Jayashree, the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So the translation and publication department is just beginning to take off. Eventually, of course, we want to have a Mayapur university or college, and this library will form the core of that. We've been talking with the Oxford Centre for Hindu Studies to get an eventual affiliation with them, and we're looking for other universities to tie up with as well. So all of this, of course, is based on donations that we get from devotees. We have no other source of income, so we do need help. We have a membership program with four different levels. The most important one is Adopt a Month. The idea is it's about $2,500 per month to keep everything running, the entire operation, which is probably less than a regular family spends nowadays in America. And if we can get a donor or a yatra to sponsor 1 month a year, just like Bhatti Thiru Maharaj, he sponsors the month of January every year. And we've got seven or eight different sponsors. If we can get about 15 monthly sponsors, we can keep everything running fairly smoothly. We also have devotees that want to help, but they don't have a lot of money, so we've got a dollar a day program or a $2 a day program. Then we have a yearly membership, $500 a year. And then finally we have a patron membership, which is a single donation of $10,000 or above. Bhakti Thiru Maharaj again was the first one to step forward with this. He came for the opening. When he saw everything, he was so happy he immediately gave us 5 lakhs of rupees. We've got other donors. Akrura Prabhu is a TP from Vancouver. He's another patron member. Mahesh Adwani from Dubai. Mr. Ajahn Tooley on the left there, very nice man. I was in Melbourne 2 years ago in Australia, and just doing a Bhakti Vriksha program. There was probably about 15 or 20 people there. And I saw this old gentleman sitting there, kind of apparently nodding out. But at the end of the program, somebody asked me, you know, can you tell us about the library? So I gave a 2-minute talk. I didn't have the slideshow. And then when I got up to leave, he came over and he said, oh, I like that program, the library. I'd like to give you something. And he said something like 1,000. So I thought, wow, that's really good. He said, I haven't even seen the slides or anything, and he wants to give $1,000. So he said, I'll come in a couple of days to the temple for the Sunday feast, and I'll give it to you in front of the deities. So this is Melbourne Temple. There's Radha Ballabha in the background. He handed me this envelope with $10,000 in it, in cash. That's his savings, you know. He was an electrician for some airline, and he just saved his money little by little, and he's giving it away. So that was nice. That's Pratapana and Jayashree on the right. They run the King's Cross Centre in Sydney very successfully. They gave $10,000 for the scanner. And then this is Madhav Savitar from Scotland. His father died and left an inheritance. Jananda Maharaj advised him to give something to the library, so he sent us £16,000. So that was a nice donation. What we'd like to do is to set up an endowment fund. That means whatever principal we receive, we put into fixed deposits, and then we just draw the interest, but the principal remains in the bank. And many temples in India, old temples, are funded by these endowment funds. They have no apparent source of income, but they have so much in the bank that they don't have to worry about, you know, keeping things running. In India now, you can get 9.3% or more for a fixed deposit. I think in America it's about 0.5% or something. A 0.1%. So it's very much worthwhile doing this. If we can get 1 crore in the bank, which is less than 200,000 nowadays, it would give about 80,000 rupees a month, which would keep the core operation going. So these are our contacts, brcindia.com. Back to be down to Research Center, brcindia.com. PayPal, Lotus Imprints, and then my email address, harrysori@gmail.com. So that's the library. If everybody's interested to continue on for another 20 minutes, I can show the show on Bionaga, which is very interesting. Should I do that? Or yeah, okay. So just give us 1 second, we'll switch over the computer here. Okay, so this is Biyanaga, the birthplace of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, this year is the 175th anniversary of his appearance. Early next year will be the 100th anniversary of his disappearance, so there'll be some special celebrations going on. And for us, this has been a very important year, as you'll see in a minute. Now, this is Biyanaga. Is around here somewhere. Let's see, Mayapur's up here. And Biyanaga is about 50 minutes from Mayapur. When you go through Ranagat, it's about 10 kilometers from Ranagat. It's not normally on the ISKCON tourist map. We've not had close relationships with Biyanaga for many years, and so hardly any of our devotees actually even know where the place is, even though it's so close to Mayapur. So this is the place. It's called the Dwadasa Mandir. It means 12 temples. So the main temple was a Durga Mandir, as you see here, two stories. And that was established in 1817 by Ishwara Chandra Mitra, who was the maternal great-grandfather of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They were very opulent. They had a big estate. And they built this temple complex. So there's the Durga Mandir. And then you've got these stupa-like temples, there's 10 of them, and they have Shiva lingams, or they had Shiva lingams in them. The one in the middle you see there is a recent addition, that's the Samadhi of Lalit Prasad Thakur. So there's all these little Shiva temples there in a kind of elongated semicircle. Most of the lingams have been moved, except for one. You can see the size of it here. This is about 2 feet high, two and a half feet high. So they kept the one because, you know, Lord Shiva is the protector of the Dham. You have to get his permission if you want to enter. So they kept one Shiva lingam. And then all the other small temples, they replaced the lingams with pictures and paintings. This is a picture of Bipin Bihari Goswami, the Diksha Guru of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then this is up on the Durga Mandir, formerly Durga Mandir, now the Radha Madhav Mandir. So they've been fixing it up. Beautiful deities of Radha Madhav there. And Gorgadadha. There's a close-up of Radha Madhav. Very nice. And then next to that complex, right next to it, there was a Kali Mandir, and that was built in 1818. That's, again, in disrepair now. They want to fix it up later on. Then on another part of the property is about 5 acres. So on another part of the property, there is the original, the actual birth site marked by that spire there of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhaktivinoda actually showed Lalit Prasad exactly where he was born, and they built that little mandir there about 60 years ago. Then they added about 10 years ago this veranda around it. This is Bharati Roy. She's our Bengali language librarian. This fellow here is a friend of ours from Biyanaga. And here you see the shrine to Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the birth site. The rest of the property is all mango orchards, and this tree here is a jambu fruit tree. This is the tree where Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a child, used to pluck the fruits and eat them. So it's still alive and going. You can see the boundary wall there. There's a bit of bamboo. They have problems with some of the neighbors encroaching on their land because they don't have a proper boundary wall. So when I went there, that was the first thing they asked me was, can you help, you know, to fund a new boundary wall? Anyway, Prabhupada went there in 1972, in March 2nd. You see there that there's Gurudas and Shama Sunda. This is Lalit Prasad Thakur on the left. He was 92 years old at this time. And he died when he was 100 in 1980. So Prabhupada, they spent the whole day there. They had a nice time. They see Achyutananda Prabhu on the floor there. And Prabhupada had a proposal that he wanted to lease the land and build a new temple there. And Lalit Prasad was favorable, but everything was being managed by a committee. So nothing really happened. You can see here on 2 days later, Prabhupada said, we were very much encouraged by you, and now you can expedite the lease agreement immediately. I can advise my assistants to take up the work seriously and begin construction. So Prabhupada had a plan there to develop that as a Tirtha. Unfortunately, it never happened. But later in the same year, Prabhupada got a letter from Achyutananda about some original works of Bhaktivinoda's that were there at Biyanaga and how they were kind of disintegrating. Prabhupada's immediate response was that Yadubara should go there and photograph all the manuscripts page by page very completely before it's too late. They're in decrepit condition. They should be preserved for future generations of Vaishnavas to see the actual handwriting and words of such great saintly persons. Treat this matter very seriously and thoroughly. Take all precautions to protect this wonderful boon of literatures forever. You can't get a much stronger endorsement than that. Again, then, same letter, these items are very, very priceless and a great treasure house of Vaishnava lore. Take all precautions to guard them. And then to Yadubara himself in June of 72, he says that you should go there. He says, this is very, very important work. Take photographs of each and every page of the old manuscripts as they're in very bad condition. Yadubara went there for a week. He photographed as much as he could. He couldn't complete the task. He had to go somewhere else. They fell out with the people at Biyanaga and he wasn't able to go back. In fact, nobody went back after that. So the film that he took was sent to the BBT. That was sent onto the archives. A couple of years ago when I was doing some research on something else, I came across these letters. So I wrote to find out what happened to the film, and the archives fortunately still had them. So they said they would digitize them all. And finally, 2 months ago, I received a digitized images of all the film that Yadubara took. This is one sample. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's handwriting. A copy of the Manasa Shiksha by Rupa Goswami. So nothing happened then from 72 until this year. So that's 41 years. And in the meantime, of course, our relationships with Biyanaga committee soured. Prabhupada went there in 76. I was with him on that trip. Again, Lalit Prasad was very favorable. His committee weren't. He died 4 years later. He had started reinitiating some of Prabhupada's disciples. So, you know, things went sour. And as a consequence, nobody from ISKCON has bothered to go to Biyanaga in the last 40-odd years. Anyway, this year, I was thinking, you know, how to fulfill Prabhupada's desire. You know, it's stated in that letter. And beginning of this year, one of our devotees organized a Harinam in Biyanaga. And I saw they had a couple of seats left on the bus. So I thought, what the heck, you know, I'd better go and see what's going on there. I hadn't been since 76. Even Bodhiyan Maharaj from the Gaudiya Mat told us, don't go to Biyanaga, they don't like ISKCON. But when I got there, it was a completely different story. The fellow that organized the Harinam, who we saw in the previous picture, he introduced me to his guru. This is Bamsi Das Babaji. He's the head guy of the Biyanaga temple there. And he was very favorable. He was very happy to see me. He took me on a guided tour and showed me the birthplace and all these things. He's very friendly. This is the same room where you saw Prabhupada sitting. Lalit Prasad was sitting on the corner of the bed there. Prabhupada was sitting in the chair on the right. Now it's a memorial to Lalit Prasad and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that's Lalit Prasad's samadhi. So at the end of the little tour, I asked this Babaji, I hear you've got some original works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Can I see them? So he thought for a second. He said, all right. So he sat me down, and after 10 minutes, he came back with this book. And this is actually the Chaitanya Bhagavat, all the verses handwritten by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When I first asked him, I said, what is this book? He said, oh, I think it's the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then after another 10 minutes, he said, no, actually, it's the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He didn't even know himself what he's got. You know, this is back even though Thakur's actual handwriting. So I told him, I said, this is all rotting away. In 30 years' time, 40 years, you're not going to have anything left. What are you going to do? So he said, well, we should do something. Maybe get them scanned. So I told him, we have this library in Calcutta, which is exactly what we do there. Why don't you come and see? We'd like to help you. So he was favorable. He said, yeah, you know, that would be good. So after leaving there, a couple of days later, I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, this is the opportunity Krishna's given us. So I had a taxi sent to the Biyanaga temple. Bharati went there. We picked him up. We brought him to Calcutta. And this is him visiting the library. The first thing we did was sit him in front of a computer with the pictures of his Guru Maharaj with Prabhupada. He'd never seen these photos before. So we showed him those. We immediately printed them out and gave them to him as a gift. And then we started showing him the original works of Bhaktivinoda that we have in our library. His spiritual master is Lalit Prasad Thakur. And he had never seen that horoscope that had been calculated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur of his guru. So he was in ecstasy. So we hit it off. We let things run for a couple of months until after Gopurnima. Day after Gopurnima, I went with Sitala. Those of you know her, my wife. This is Dear Ashanti from England. We visited Biyanaga, and by that time, I kind of formulated some kind of an agreement that I wanted them to sign. So they showed us a few more works there. This is the Manisha Shiksha again. A lot of stuff. And this is their Prasadam Hall, which is about 200 years old. Anyway, so I told them, you have a committee. If you can get them all together, I've got a proposal that I want to make. Because I knew he couldn't do it on his own. So he organized for the leading members of his committee to come in early April. We went there. I showed them this slide, the slideshow that you just saw. And, you know, they're all looking. We explained how, you know, the preservation and everything works. That's their committee right there. And I thought, you know, they'll probably need a few weeks to think about it, talk about it. They'll probably have conditions, maybe they'll want some money or something. But on the spot, as soon as we finished, they were so happy. They said, let's do it right now. So I had printed out the agreement and signed it and sealed it before I went there. So I just pulled them out. They got the stamps out. That was it. It was a done deal. So 2 days later, Bharati went there. She catalogued everything. The deal was that we would catalogue everything. So we knew exactly what was there. Then we would bring it to Calcutta and scan it all. Then we would deacidify and do the preservation work. And then we'll return the originals back to Biyanaga and help them set up a display. As long as we've got, you know, the copies of it, we're happy. So Bharati brought all the works in 2 metal trunks from Biyanaga. They're currently still there in the library. You can see some of them here. This is the Rasa Rasodaya, which I'll explain about in a minute. It's one of the original works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that was never published. But out of all the works, we found some really interesting stuff. It wasn't just books and manuscripts, there were some letters. This is a very far-out letter from Srila Prabhupada, written in Bengali, to Lalit Prasad Thakur in 1971 when he was in Moscow. I mean, this is a historical document. And here, I can't read it from this distance. Anybody got good eyes? And he says, here the preaching, he says he's writing from, he gives the room number, he says, I'm here in Moscow with 2 American disciples. Here the preaching work will be, number 1, Vedic conception of communism, number 2, knowledge derived from authoritative tradition, and number 3, scientific classless society. Prabhupada had it really well planned out what he was going to talk about, you know, in Moscow. And he says there that now What is that? You give your blessing in this severely atheistic country that the teachings of Mahaprabhu will be preached. Then he says, there are many local teenager girls and boys that are coming. Again, that's Prabhupada, you know, two people can. There are many. And he said, I'm advising them to do the bhajan of the Lord. And of course, you know, that was an Antashanti. And Antashanti just left his body this year. Well, this is the letter. I mean, Prabhupada wrote this just as he was preaching to him in Moscow. Anyway, it's a very far out letter. And he says, you bless me. He asks for his blessings. So, historical document. There's a couple of other letters there from Prabhupada. And now with the works there, this is that Rasa Rasodia, unpublished work, about 100 pages. Somebody, and even they don't know who did it, but somebody took the manuscript and attempted to preserve it by lamination, but they used a cheap form of plastic, and the plastic has shrunk and curled up, and it started to destroy the original works in. So one of our big tasks right now, we're working on it this week, is to figure out how to get that plastic off and then re-laminate it with, you know, that acid-free paper. So we'll see what happens with that. This was worth all the time and effort. This is the actual autobiography of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He wrote about 200 pages to Lalit Prasad describing his life, his own life. It's called the Swalikita Jivani. He put his own picture in the front, and he signed it, Kedarnath Dutt. I think it was signed sometime in December 1891, something like that. I have to check that date. So we have it. So he's put there, you know, his natal chart, and then he explains in its pages all about his life. So this is an amazing volume. So we have that scanned now. As I say, the originals will go back to Biyanaga, but we'll be able to print out from that. So these are all the works. There was about 181 manuscripts, books, and letters. We got them all catalogued and now scanned. But we just finished the scanning about 2 weeks ago. And the next thing when I get back in a couple of weeks is to talk with the Biyanaga committee and find out what kind of preservation they'd like us to do. You know, either the lamination, or the other way is to use encapsulation, which uses plastic, but it's a special kind of archival plastic, which is very stable chemically. Normally plastic is unstable, and it leaches into whatever it comes in contact with as it breaks down. But there's some stuff called polypropylene, which they use in archives. It's clear plastic, but it doesn't leach into, you know, the documents that it's covering. So you can use that and see or easily read everything. So they have to make that decision what they want to do as far as preserving their works. Now here you'll see the plaque there that says that that retaining wall which is surrounding the birth site temple, that was renovated by the Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust. So the BSCT was formed by Srila Prabhupada in November of 1977. It was the last thing that he did before he left the planet. And he left an endowment which was to be spent every year on renovating temples or helping his god brothers, you know, to fix up their places, etc. It was a gift. So in 2009 they did this retaining wall. That's from the other side. There's this big pukur here. So this wall here is about 8 feet tall, actually. So they did that work. And then in 2011, they fixed up the deity kitchen in the main temple there. So as part of, you know, the agreement that we made with the committee, I made a promise that I would raise the funds so that they could renovate their prasadam hall, which you see here. It's a real mess. They need about $7,000. So it wasn't an absolute requirement, but just to encourage them, you know, I said, you know, you're letting us copy all the books and everything, so we'd like to help you fix up your temple a little bit. So that's something that we're, you know, collecting for. You can see there it's quite old, and dilapidated. So little by little, we want to help them fix things up. So this is the current then situation with them. The Prasadam Hall will cost about $6,500. We want to help them with the boundary fence so that they don't lose any more land. And then the preservation of the literature from there, we figured will cost about $4,000. So, as I say, this is the 175th anniversary of the appearance of Bhaktivinod. Next year is the 100th anniversary of his disappearance. If anybody feels inspired, you know, to do something for the birthplace of Bhaktivinod Thakur, this is a good time to do it. So you can contact myself on Gmail there. Or the BS, the Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust, is on Pamhole also. So that's it. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anybody have any questions or comments? How do you think, Prabhu?
What you've amassed, you've been given, is priceless information.
Yeah.
Priceless. What sort of security do you have in Calcutta?
That's a good question. We are concerned, obviously, with security. Just before I left, I told the devotees to buy some fireproof almirahs, something similar to what they've just done in the archives. Right, they put some 6-hour fireproof filing cabinets. So we want to do something like that. Right now, you know, we just have the building. We have a few fire extinguishers, and that's about it. As far as security, you know, making sure nobody steals anything, that was why at the beginning I showed, you know, this year we've just put in a special rare books cage, if you like, where we keep all that stuff. Because ISKCON devotees became notorious in the 80s in Calcutta, in the main libraries, the National Library, the Asiatic Society, for going there, you know, looking at rare books and then walking out with them. So we got a very bad reputation. We don't want that to happen with our library. So, you know, we've got some security in, but it could be better.
Is there a basement?
We don't have a basement, no. But we've got the whole building, you know. We can. There's another floor below that library, which is exactly the same size. Right now it's being used as a small temple room, but eventually that will also become part of the library, and we'll be able to put a lot more stuff in there. And then the other thing is, you know, preservation means dissemination. Right? If you disseminate something as far and as wide as possible, that's the best way to preserve it. The more copies there are out there, then the more chance there is that it will survive. So that the website is a very important part of that. Yes, sir.
Actually, you just answered my question. That was my question.
All right.
About the dissemination.
Yes. Any other questions? Yes, sir. How are you?
Just Gopi Pranadetta told me there's a big library in Dhaka. Is that the same one you were at in Sylhet, or that's a different one?
No, Dhaka is different. There is a very big library in Dhaka. Unfortunately, when our devotees, well, when our team went there, they were not very cooperative. We just asked if we could scan, you know, some of the works, but they weren't really willing to do that. And it's just like an unfortunate mentality that we keep running across in temples and libraries all through Bengal, that when they see that you, they don't do anything, everything's rotting away, literally. They never touch it from one year to the next. But if you come there and ask them if you can photograph it to preserve it, no. They don't want you to touch it somehow or another. It's their property, and they'd rather, you know, just watch it disintegrate than let somebody else come and get a copy of it. That, you know, that mentality was kind of gradually breaking down. But it's an unfortunate, you know, situation in some respects.
Well, Colin. I was just wondering, you know, preservation of documents is such a technical affair. I was wondering if you learned on the job or if you took some special training.
Good question. We did get in touch with the archives because they've got so much experience. They sent us a lot of material, at least instructions and things. But for doing the actual, like the deacidification and the lamination, we actually hired a team that worked professionally. It's a company that does that work. They've worked for the National Library, they've worked for the Asiatic, so they were very happy to come in. We've had them working at least 6 months last year. They did the whole Nadia Prakash. Now the next thing they'll do is, you know, the stuff from Bionaga, and there's heaps and heaps of stuff to go. Because we're paying for that, but there's no option. We don't have devotees that are experienced to do it ourselves. Maybe later on, you know, if we get funding, we can increase our staff and develop our own preservation section. But at least what's been done is, you know, up to current Indian standards. I don't know how it would match up to what they do here in the West. Yes, sir.
Garuda Prabhu up in Washington was working with the Smithsonian doing this kind of scanning of manuscripts. Are you familiar with what he...
Yeah, we've been in touch with Garuda Prabhu. I think he's on our board of advisors. You know, as I say, this work has been done. I was going to say about the Matsya project, which was the Smithsonian. That was funded for 1 year by the Smithsonian. The Matsya project did a lot of work, you know, putting things on microfiche. Unfortunately, I was told that they had been given access to the National Library in Calcutta, and they had taken some, like a full roll of microfiche images, which was something like 100,000. And that roll of film got spoiled. And they weren't allowed to go back and do any more there. And Gopi Puranadana told me also that he went to Bionaga, you know, with the Matsya project and asked if they could see the literature and, you know, make copies of it. And they said, no, we don't have it anymore. It's all gone. It's been scattered. So in 1980, you couldn't have done this. They tried it. You know, the Matsya project was really a prelude to what we're doing now. But they couldn't get anywhere in Bionaga at that time. But now, this whole project is very clearly got the hand of Krishna in it. You know, this literature is on the verge of extinction. As you say, it's so precious. And nobody was doing anything about it. And somehow or another, the facility came, the funds came. We got the collection. We were going to buy it for 7 lakhs, and it was given away to somebody else. They gave it back to us for nothing. I mean, you know, this is Krishna. What can you say? The whole thing is amazing. And now Bionaga this year. And if we go through Bangladesh, who knows what we're going to find there. There's so many of our acharyas came from that area of Bengal. There's got to be a lot of Vaishnava literature there. Maybe stuff that's never been seen before.
There's a Bhakta David that has a PhD in Sanskrit from the Benares University that's collecting the manuscripts of, I believe, Baladeva Vidyabhushan.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's Damien Martins.
We've been in touch with him.
Yeah, well, he's a good example. I think he's Brazilian.
He's Brazilian.
Yeah, he contacted us a couple of years ago. He's got his own project tracking down works by Baladeva Vidyabhushan. And he actually found a place, I think in his hometown or birthplace, Baladeva's birthplace. He identified a couple of manuscripts which are not listed anywhere. They were unknown. But they're definitely by him, the same handwriting. So, you know, just by some investigative work, he's found a couple of original manuscripts by one of our leading acharyas. So, you know, it's important work. If we don't do it, all of these manuscripts in another generation or two will be finished. They'll all be gone. And especially for us, Gaudiya Vaishnav, the National Mission for Manuscripts worked all over India, but they did very little work in Bengal. So most of the work that's important for us has not been recorded by the National Mission. But if we can get an affiliation with them, they'll fund us to do that work. So that's what we're pushing for at the moment. A couple of weeks ago, I met with a lady who, she was responsible for the current secretary of the Ministry of Culture for the whole country. She got him his job. So this woman is a devotee. She's, you know, very enthusiastic to help us. He owes her big time, as they say, because he's got his, you know, a very powerful position. And they're in charge of the National Mission for Manuscripts. So she's contacting him every week, and he keeps promising, yes, don't worry, you'll get it. So government workings are slow, but we're hoping that we'll get that. That could be worth up to about 15 lakhs of rupees a year, which is what, about $7,000 or something? No, 15 lakhs. A lakh is about $2,000, $30,000. Yeah, 28,000, something like that. So we'll see. It's up to Krishna, you know, what happens. Did you? Oh, they did. All right.
Sorry. Actually, the BBT funded the first year of the Matsya Project. Rameshwar helped buy all the equipment and get it shipped. And it went on the same plane, 747, that was full of devotees. Oh. Kirti Raj and other devotees helped us get it through customs, someone meeting us there, bringing things in that would otherwise not be able to stay.
It would be nice if somebody could write up the history of the Matsya Project.
Just for future presentation, so you know.
Well, it was an important project. Somehow or another, it didn't culminate in what they hoped for. But some stuff was published just recently. This, I think, Professor Charles White, he was working with the devotees. Is that right?
Charles White.
Yeah. And he published some book a couple of years ago listing all the stuff that they found on the Matsya Project. So that's available.
Yes.
And I think that
don't you have a copy of all that?
Yeah, but where is the microfiche?
It's at American University.
Some is there. We heard also that there was a copy of everything in a big library in Chennai. Pranava went down there recently. I forgot to ask him whether he found out what it was. Anyway.
You should be able to apply and get an entire copy if you don't. I thought you already had one.
Well, we're trying for that. We want to get it, but there's so much that we have to do. We have, you know, a staff of four. We're trying to do all the different aspects. It's, you know, it's not easy.
Well, I'll check Abby. Into it.
All right.
Are you in contact with any of the other institutions in Vrindavan that maybe have the Goswami's literature?
Yeah, well, the main institute in Vrindavan is the Vrindavan Research Institute, just down the road from Krishna Balaram Mandir. They started in 1982. We were there first. But in the last 30-odd years, they've accumulated about 35,000 manuscripts, including original work by Jiva, Sanat, and Rupa Goswami. And it's there, you can see it. Unfortunately, again, the same mentality. If you want to go there and get copies of anything, you can have the first page and the last page. That's it.
Are they doing any preservation work?
It just doesn't make any sense at all.
Are they preserving it?
Well, the government, the government was called in after a few years to keep things going. So they have a lot of say in it now. And I heard last year, or early this year, they were given 2 crores of rupees, which is a lot of money, about, you know, nearly $400,000, to expand their facilities there in Vrindavan. But the access is still the same. You know, you go there, you want to see this, that, and the other, they won't show you it. I mean, what's the use of keeping it if you don't make it available? So they're the only other institute that I know of over that side that's doing something similar to what we're doing. I might be wrong. I mean, there could be other places. But
what if the government invests in 1,000 and they'll get it?
I'm not sure what the policy is. Okay, so if there's no more questions, we'll finish at that point. One last thing, if you're going through to Mayapur, you can take a detour and come into Calcutta. We have the guest house, so it's nice and comfortable. Well, we're in the city, so we're not very far from the ISKCON main temple. So from the airport, it's about 50 minutes. I mean, it's a detour. You know, it's going the opposite direction to Mayapur. But if you come, you can stay for the night in the guest house, and you can see all the books in the library. When you walk in to the library, and you've got all these books, all our, you know, literatures and originals, and it's like being in White Country. It's amazing. I mean, you know, just the atmosphere there. It's really wonderful. So, you know, please come and visit and see what we're doing there. If you feel inclined, you can help us in so many different ways. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai.